As Pastor Chelsea was talking about, you know, giving us a chance to go home and see family. But let's be really honest. It's to go deer hunting. And we accomplished the mission. Hallelujah. Amen. I could talk about that for a long time. Moving on. Amen. We are actually at the end of service. Actually, let's receive it right now, that offering. Come talk about that for a minute, please.
Hallelujah. Okay, so who has been helping out at the food distribution that we've been doing? Okay, so thank you so much for everybody for doing that. The church that actually, it's actually at their location. They opened up their location, which they already have a food bank. So Praise Chapel has Food for Families food bank there at their facility. They do an amazing job. Hallelujah, glory to God. How many in here actually knows somebody that needs food, that has gotten food, that has been blessed by food from Food for Families? So they have impacted so many people in our community, you guys. And we were able to talk with the pastor. They are, Pastor and I have been praying about who to be able to bless this year with a special offering.
Yeah,
we've done several.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You know, because each year we try to do something. For during Christmas for something like we've been doing Kicks for Kids and then other things. And this popped up this year, and I just really seemed impressed to do this because they do help out. Like whenever we go up there, how many vehicles go through there and families?
And hundreds. Do you remember the stats on that? Three to 400 cars, you guys.
Cars.
And usually sometimes those people are picking up several boxes.
Yeah, like 2 to 4 boxes for families.
For families that they know around them.
And this pastor and his members, it's his trucks, his buildings, the electricity he has to pay for, all the diesel and all that stuff. So we're going to be a blessing to him and help him out this year.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So if you were like, man, I wish I'd have known about this. If you don't have it, if you want to still give, just what do we need to give it to?
I don't know. I didn't look that up.
I didn't either. I did not look that up. Here, I can look it up. I got my phone.
No. We have a couple different things that you can give to. You can, of course, our envelopes, and then you can go to spiritlifeaz.org. That's our website. There's a giving portal on there. And then let's see which to put it on.
I beat you.
Outreach. There's an outreach one.
Oh, yeah. We'll do outreach.
So if you were to go to spiritlifeaz.org, go to the giving button, which there's usually, if you're doing it on your phone, there's three little lines.
Yep.
Do that. Go to giving.
Go to outreach.
Go to outreach. And we are going to bless their socks off. Amen.
Yes,
we are going to give into this ministry that has impacted our community for years and years and years. And now they are to the point where they have so many people coming through that they can barely keep up with the influx of people.
Yeah.
There is a need in our community, we are going to be able to give into that this year. I am excited.
Yeah.
So hallelujah.
Yeah.
This is direction from the Holy Spirit that we've been praying about. And I'm so glad that you as a church can jump on board, and we are going to bless them. Hallelujah.
Yes, we are. Amen.
All right, Father God, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity.
Yeah,
thank you,
amen.
Holy Spirit, for leading us to know exactly where we need to be putting this special Christmas time giving offering, Father God. Lord, we see this need that is in our community, and Lord, as a church, we have tried to step in and step up in this area, but Father God, thank you, Lord, that there is other churches, that there is this church that has opened their doors, that have done this ministry so well, Father God, that has impacted so many lives in our community, and Lord, we have the opportunity to be able to bless them, to be able to bring this offering into the kingdom of God, not just for our church, but Lord, so they can be blessed, that they can do what they need to do to be able to do a mighty impact for the people that they are helping from our community. So thank you, Lord, for blessing this offering in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. as they're going around, look at your neighbor and say, "We have the best looking church around." Amen. You can turn over to Joshua 24 while they're finishing it up. Joshua 24. I'm actually going to talk for a minute before we read. No, I ain't. Go over to verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15, excuse me, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you what?
Today.
This day, whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." I love how he said that. He made it very clear. He said, "Or the God of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell." See, it wasn't God. They were serving the wrong gods. He said the gods they were serving is the wrong ones. That's why the land belongs to you and you have it right now.
Amen.
Amen. Should have heard a better amen than that, but we're still waking up. Y'all hot?
Yes.
Look, the one time I tried to warm y'all up and y'all fall asleep on me. Can you turn the fans on slow, please? I say slow, low, lower, slow, however you want to say it. Amen. If I see one of y'all nodding off, I'm going to make you get up and do jumping jacks. I'm playing. I can't. Or as the military says, side straddle hops. That's always fun. All right, moving on. "In whom your land dwell, but as for me and my house." What does he say? "We will serve the Lord," right? Father God, we just come to your throne room right now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you. We thank you for your word, Father God. I thank you. Everything in this earth will change, but your word, it stays constant. It is constant, Father God. It's the only thing that won't change. It'll still be the same once we get over to the other side. And Father God, we thank you for the anointing, for the mantle that you placed on my life. And Holy Ghost, sir, we ask you to reveal and unveil truths to us this morning from your word. I thank you, Father God, we don't come with an attitude of knowing or he's just crazy, but we come with an attitude of, okay, Father God, I know I'm not the smartest person on the earth. And so just show me more light. Show me more revelation from the word that we're reading this morning. Even though I might have read it 1,000 times, I thank you. I don't understand everything that's in it. And there's could be possibly more things in one scripture than I just assume there is. And so, Father God, we look to you this morning to help us with the word of God. I thank you, Father God, for it in advance. And everybody agreed, said,
amen.
Amen. So the title of this is where has the excitement gone, or are you still excited? Where has the excitement from the Word of God gone? However you wanna say, it's fine with me. Number one, excitement is contagious, right? Yes, I agree. There was this one minister. He was ministering, and the guy on the front row was actually talking about it. He said, "You know, we just got done eating a couple." He said, "We already had like one or two services. We just got done eating a big Mexican dinner." He said, "So you know, that food's just setting in a little bit warm." He said, "So we was on the front row doing that one eye twitch, you know." And he said, and all of a sudden the minister said, "Fellas, get excited about the word of God, because that's when it'll work for you." You ever thought about that?
Yes.
Get excited about the word of God, because that's when it'll work for you. Amen. Excitement is a crying out in excitement. It's a feeling of great enthusiasm and eagerness. I found that excitement is good for the body. It's found a link between it upbeat mental state, and improved health, including low blood sugar, reduced risk for heart disease, healthier weight, better blood sugar levels, and longer life. That's an excitement for the body. It's funny, you know, we get excited about football games and stuff like that, right? There's people that will go tailgate hours before a football game, right? I've been one of those guys. I've done that before, right? But is all of my excitement always in the natural? Is my excitement ever about the Word of God? Is the same excitement I have for sports or for whatever it is that I'm happy about, do I have that same excitement about the Word of God? And a lot of people don't. And if you think about it, why? Why not? Is it because they really don't think God will do what He says He'll do? Is it because they've prayed a lot and they haven't seen anything happen from their prayer life? Amen. Amen. Look, y'all smile, okay? We just got back. It's, you know, we're happy. We have deer. You know, it's a good day. Good day. She said, we don't. You're all right. And I tried to explain to y'all Wednesday. This is one area that I'm really stingy in. I mean, we all have the same opportunity to get out in the woods. I'm just playing. Amen. A lot of times, people won't even go to bed on Thanksgiving Day because of Black Friday. Pumped about it. Like, this is the happiest time of the whole year for some people. And if that's the case, I need to back up and rethink. Why do I have more excitement in natural things than I do spiritual things? Why doesn't the Word of God excite me like natural things do? See, and a lot of times people want to pray this prayer: God, you know, get me excited about the Word. God, you know, fire me up about the Word of God. Well, did He fire you up about Black Friday? Now let's talk. We're family, right? So we're not going to get mad at me, are we? Amen. Hallelujah. We're just talking. So would I be sounding silly if I said, God, fire me up about Black Friday? Get me excited about Black Friday, God. No, I did that myself. So if I can do that myself about Black Friday, if I can do that about myself about barbecuing, yeah, or about a football game or whatever, a dance, a girls exchange. If I can get myself excited about that, could I get myself excited about the Word? The thing is, a lot of times we want to try to put it off on God. That way we have an excuse of why we're not. But yet naturally, football games and things like that, we can get ourselves excited that fast. But over here, we're like, God, get me excited. That way, if I don't get excited, it's your fault. Amen. Didn't know we was going this way, but still good, ain't it? Amen. Hallelujah. I did get my, I shot a 12-point last year, right? And I got that back. I've been waiting on that since August because he called me. He's like, it's done. And I use a guy in Oklahoma. And I almost just left and drove there to pick it up. That's how excited I was about that deer head. So if I'm that excited to just go ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to take off work and go down there and get a deer head, but then I don't want to wake up a little bit early to read the Word, what really excites me then? What really gets me going and pumped up? Is it a video game? Do I wake up and go, man, I got to finish building this today? Hallelujah. You know, Amen. Amen. What gets me excited? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll read this real fast. We should have the excitement of a dog. Me and Pastor Chelsea actually saw this video. So whenever you come back home, what does the dog do? Loses their mind. They're like, you're my best friend and you're back. Right? I'm talking about, y'all know I got the chocolate lab. She'll be a year old here pretty quick. But, son, her tail is like a bomber. Just, it'll take everything out. And if you're in the way, it'll leave bruises. And she'll just knock everything, right? But she gets pumped. And so whenever she sees me, sometimes she'll hear my truck pull up, and she'll just come flying out of this doggy door that's way too small for her. Way too small. I just ain't had a chance to redo it. It's a small doggy door. She's a large dog. But she just goes like this through it. I still don't know how, but she just, ha! Right through it. Zoop, right? And she'll run out there and sit at my gate. She'll run up to the gate and sit down and just stare at me. And I'll see her in my truck, and she's waiting for me to get out, right? And so I'll stop the truck. I'll get out. I'll grab my stuff. And then I'll just kind of squat and then just go, there she is, like that. And she just loses it. Loses it. It's like, you've been gone for 5 years. I thought you was dead. I can't believe you made it back. Come on, hurry, get over here as fast as you can. And then she wants to lick my face all over, right? Is it y'all's dogs like that? No? I know your cat's not. I mean, who wants to own a cat, right? Let's be honest. You come home and they throw stuff at you. I can be at work and have that happen, why, you know? But anyways, moving on. But she's excited, right? You could just got home, right? And then be like, oh, I forgot to grab the mail. Or, oh, I need to take the trash out real fast. And take it out real fast and come right back. That same excitement that you experienced is still there. It's not dwindled. It hasn't waned. If not even more now. What is my excitement like whenever I'm getting into the Word of God, whenever I open it up? Is it, oh God, here we go again. You know, I said I'd read a chapter a day. You know, we're doing the Bible plan. I better go ahead and just read this, get it over with. If you abide in me, hallelujah. Go over to John 15, please, 7. Well, before you do that, hang on. Let me ask you something. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. How many of y'all know that scripture? You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done, how? Unto you, right? What does the first part of that scripture say? See, everybody doesn't know that. They know the last part of it. And so they try to exercise the last part without doing the first part. If you abide, where? You could turn over there and look at it, but where does it say? Abide where? And my words abide in you. See, then once that happens, once that first part is accomplished, because that's why a lot of times that second part isn't answered. Because the first part isn't done. And so we're trying to exercise a second part without even doing the first part. And then we start trying to question faith and God. and his word, saying, but God, you said, I can ask anything I will and it'll be done unto me. And he says, yes, but if you abide in me, and then my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That excitement about the word, not just checking a box or just going, okay, I've got that done today. Does the word even get you excited anymore? A lot, you know, sometimes it's, the thing is, people, things they've been believing God for hasn't come to pass. And so they start questioning it. And then they start going, well, I don't even know if faith is real. Well, I don't think faith works, or God's not listening to me, or I'm bad, or all this stuff. And so Satan kind of gets them into a whirlwind, just heading straight down. But just back up and get excited about the word. Yeah. Just back up and get excited about the word. Amen. Well, we're going to read this. Well, here goes Brother Clint reading those same scriptures he's been reading every Sunday on offering, tithe and offering. The excitement is gone. So you think something's going to work for you when the excitement's gone? How many of y'all have ever seen a football team come out, or a basketball team, baseball, whatever kind of team come out going, we're about to lose. Yeah, I'm going to have to get out here, and they're going to throw the ball at me. I'm going to have to catch it. Then somebody's probably going to try to hit me. I got to try to get this little bitty ball way down there, you know, with this club. You know, the pitcher, he might try to hit me with a ball. How many of y'all ever seen anybody like that? There's so much excitement. People start putting up their Christmas trees and stuff now, like in October. Because of Christmas has got them so what?
Excited.
When was the last time the Word of God got you that excited? It's easy to say every day or yesterday or right now, but when you're at home by yourself, when was the last time it got you excited? Because if it truly does, then that would be the only thing in front of your face. If it truly got you that excited every day, you wouldn't allow anything else to distract you, but it'd only be the Word of God on every single free moment you had. Amen. Amen. Talking about the dog again, you know, if you want to take him for a car ride, son, first one to the car. Ask me. I know, because she just burns out. Because number one, she probably thinks we're going to Dutch Bros to get a pup cup. Son, just loses her mind over a cup of whipped cream, right? I had to end up going to work last night, and she went with me, and I just rolled the window down. She just hangs her head out the window and just enjoys life. Bugs hitting her all up in the face and teeth, just everywhere. She's just like, this is the best day of my life right now. They're excited. What was it? Every day a dog lives is equivalent to a week of our life. They only get one day for every week we have. So they make every day count. They make every day count. And so they stay excited. Does sadness and depression try to come? Yeah, whenever they get in trouble. Whenever they might have used the restroom or they ate your couch, you know. That's a bad dog. I'm sorry. I tried not to do it. You know, and they're sad for about 2 or 3 seconds. And then they're like, all right, now are we okay now? We good? Hey, you know, I said I'm sorry. You know, we good now though? I thank God because I don't know how long I could have went without us being good. every time you see a dog, ask yourself, is my excitement for the Word of God like the excitement of a dog? Or have I allowed the cares of life, the distractions, to pull me away and to damper that excitement? Oh no, here comes Christmas again, you know. Well, got to do Christmas thing, buy gifts, you know, and then parties and stuff. If you're dreading it, regroup. 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 Amen. Link up with somebody and get together and have fun. Because the thing is, you can have a sad time with anything. It's your choice, though. You can either get excited or stay sad and allow depression or the cares of life to run you. That's anybody's choices. Like I was saying about a dog, they don't allow just the cares to eat them up. They don't. Number one, they know when they mess up because you'll get on to them and they do the, oh my, like they can't see you. You know, they close their eyes and they're like, oh, they can't see me if I close my eyes, you know. They do that. But it might be 5 minutes. Might be 5 minutes. And then they're back to, hey, we still best friends? Yeah, we definitely should be like that. Instead of holding grudges and things. That I didn't want to get into that because that's a whole nother message. Amen. like I said, whenever we see a dog, we should ask ourselves, is my excitement for the Word of God like the excitement of a dog? Or have I allowed the cares of life or the distractions to pull me away and to damper the excitement? Amen. To damper the excitement. Because here's the thing. Amen. Excitement. And, you know, especially when we're parents. Because if our kid sees us going, oh, here we got to go to church again. What's their attitude going to be when they get older? And then we start questioning, why don't you like church? Well, I've been watching you my whole life. All right. It's also interesting to me that some people will ask their kids if they want to go to church. I'm not trying to get on to anybody or anything, all right? But let's ask ourselves this question. Do I ask my kid if they want to go to school? If I don't, then I think school will teach them more than church will. And I got more faith in school than I do church, especially if I'm asking them, hey, you want to go to church? Because if I'm not asking them that, hey, you want to go to school? I believe more in the school system than I do in the church system and the Bible system. Yeah, amen. So are we excited about the Word of God? Are we excited about the things of God or not? Because, you know, like that minister said, whenever he told those guys that, that just really went off on the inside of me. It really did. He said, get excited about the Word, fellas, because that's when it's going to work for you. Because if I go around going, but my God, shall supply all my needs according to his riches, do I really believe that? Because, you know, the way you look and say things actually speaks a lot louder than what you're saying as well. You know that, right? But if I walk around going, but my God shall supply all my needs, do you think I believe that? Or do you think I believe it when I go, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches? Do I look like I believe the word? Amen. Turn over real fast, please. Let's go over to Psalms 122. What did I do with that definition? Do y'all remember? I found it. Nobody panic. Psalms 122, verse 1. Yep, that'll work. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of what?
The Lord.
I was glad. I was glad. Because number one, I know I'm going to get taught things from the Word of God that's going to help develop me in my Christian walk. That's going to help help me to continually walk forward. Is there going to be situations pop up? Absolutely. But thank God for the answer to them and for the knowing how to get through them excited and smiling. It's like on your birthday or Christmas or whatever, you know, as a kid, you wake up smiling ear from ear. Especially Christmas, you waking everybody and their mama up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. But on a school day, you don't get up till 10. Don't make sense, but we was all there. We all did it. Let's, you know, that's just how we live, right? excited, though. Smiling from ear to ear. Excited. Because, number one, we're about to receive something really awesome. We're about to get something that's going to help us. That we're going to have fun with. See, the Word of God isn't, okay, you better do this or you're going to get this. Is that why we're not excited about it? Because we think, oh, well, you know, I got to change this and I got to change that. Look, just keep doing what you're doing and allow God to work on you. Don't allow people to tell you to change. Allow the Word of God to tell you how to live. Amen. Don't allow people to tell you. Allow the Word of God to tell you. Amen. And stay excited about the Word of God. Stay excited about the Word of God. It's like the dog. You know, you could, my dog goes crazy. She just starts doing circles. And I try to pet her, and you can't because she's just doing this. And so I just put my hand down and just let her do circles on it. She's so pumped because she thinks I've been gone for years. But it's only been a couple hours or an hour. Go over to 2 Samuel, please. 2 Samuel. Chapter 6. We'll do it out of King James. And David, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. We're going to have to move that palm tree all up in the letter. And again, oh, I already read that. Look, I read that one, then I was like, I'll read the second one, but it's the same one. And we're moving on. And David arose, some people's kids. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Belial of Judah to bring up from thence the what? Ark of God, it's also called the Ark of Covenant and the Ark of Leading. They actually call it three different names. From the Ark of God or Ark of the Covenant, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and, yep, the sons of Abinadab drove the new cart, thank God for King James. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God. And Ahoah went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played what? On all, I want y'all to make a mental note of this. Right? And David and all the house of Israel did what? Played before the Lord. Right? On all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps and on palstries and on timbrels and on cornets and cymbals. And when they came to Nacho's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God. Sounds good, right? Right. Put forth his hand. Hallelujah. Look, every time I look at it, it still says Nachos. Right? So I'm just going to keep going. Forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord to him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, how long?
3 months.
3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom. That's why I love why another name is the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. Because what was the covenant God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? The blessing. Right? The blessing. And we can see what the blessing did in 3 days. Sorry, 3 months. In 3 months. What the blessing did. The blessing caused so much to happen at Obed-Edom's house that it actually made it all the way back to the king.
Yeah. Amen.
And news like that doesn't just go to the king if it's little.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
So this has to be just phenomenal.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with what? And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone, what? He sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David what? And David was girded with a linen ephod. Go to verse 5, please. And David and all the house of Israel, what? Played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood. Go back to verse 14 or 13. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord had gone, what? He sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Go back to verse 5. And David and all the house of Israel did what? Go back to 13 now, or 14, please. And David, 13. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone, how far?
6
steps. 6 steps. Six steps. What'd they do? Oxen and fatlings. Where was that in verse 5? Because, see, in verse 5 it says they just played. Yes. It doesn't say nothing about how they only took 6 steps and then sacrificed. In verse 5 it just said that they had them out front just playing the instruments. Once he figured out what the Word of God will do, he got really excited about it. Yes. And it changed him. Yes. Because before, he just had it, and he's like, okay, this is the Ark of God, this is the Ark of Covenant, you know, let's take it over here, we'll take it to my house. All right, get some guys out front, play some music. But then when they started seeing the effects of the covenant, and they heard about what the covenant did, it changed them to where they're only taking 6 steps now. And he's sacrificing. And what else is he doing? 14? Danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. He would dance with all of his might. Every 6 steps, they would sacrifice. And he would dance with all of his might. Before, it was just this is what we're supposed to do. Don't just make it a check-off box. Get excited about it. Get into the Word and find out what belongs to you, because that's what's going to keep you getting excited, finding out what continually belongs to you and what God has provided for you. Because if I don't know what God's provided for me, then am I even going to be excited about it? Is there going to be that hunger on the inside of me to get into it? Like, I can't wait to go to sleep so I can wake up and get back into the Word and find out what else belongs to me. Is there that excitement there? Amen. Or is there, all right, I did that. What's on TV? Has our show come on yet? We got it recorded? The way they played in verse 5 and verse 14 are different in knowing what God's Word will do for us or just something we do. Amen. David knew what he had. He didn't understand what he had. Amen. And so I wrote this down. Knowing, and I found this, it says, is the end point of growth. Knowing is the end point of growth. But understanding is the starting point of growth. See, he knew what he had at first, but then the second time he understood what he had. This is going to produce for me and my family for the rest of our lives. So this is the most exciting thing I've ever received. So thank God for it. We're sacrificing. We're taking 6 steps. We're sacrificing, and I'm dancing. Are you sure, David? That's not how we did it before. Shut your mouth. You ain't in charge. I am. Because this thing is going to change my life for the rest of my life. Not only mine, but my family's. Look what it did to Obed-Edom. Imagine what God will do for us. If he'll do it for them, then it's the same thing will happen for us. So I'm going to get excited about it, and I'm going to show God thank you. Because that's what excitement is. And number one, it's also saying thank you. Thank you, hallelujah. I don't have to live how I used to live. I don't have to live defeated and broken, sad, and depressed like I used to live. But I can live excited, joyful, prosperous, and healthy. So David knew what he had. He didn't understand what he had, right? Knowing is the end point of growth. Is the end point of growth. Because we almost just get to a place where, oh, I know that. And so you're not allowing yourself any more growth because now you know. You're like, I know that. And so growth is no longer there because the attitude of, I know. I know what Mark 11, 22 says. I know. I know what Philippians 4:19 says. I know. I know what, you know, Matthew 8:17 says. I get it. But do you understand what it says? Because that's the start point. The starting point of growth. The starting point. Understanding is the starting point of growth. Slap your neighbor and say, are you excited? Some of y'all took that a little too... like I talked about a little bit ago, how many of us have ever seen a team come out depressed or sad? You know, none of us, right? Because if that's the case, we would leave. Why even stay and watch y'all? Because y'all over here trying to get me all sad and depressed watching you. Right? I mean, what if I came up here? All right. We're back. You know, we're going to read some word. Hopefully we'll get something. How many of y'all would keep coming? I wouldn't either. I'd probably leave. Oh, not probably, I would. Because the thing is, people are searching for something. There's an empty void in people, and they don't know, understand what they're missing. And so they're searching. And that's why alcohol and everything else comes into play, because they're looking for something to fill that void. But thank God we got the answer. Right? It's the Word of God. Amen. We don't have to turn there, but... Acts 26:2, Paul, y'all remember, talking to King Agrippa, he said, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Even though you're staring down, he was staring down death's door. He said, I think myself happy. These things don't move me. I'm still excited about what God's doing in my life. So don't allow things to get you upset and get the, take the excitement away from you or knock the wind out of your sail. Amen. Don't allow it. Well, you know, I've been fighting this disease or this sickness or this poverty, this lack for a while. Just continually stand on the Word of God. And yes, and rejoice, but stay excited about it. Stay excited about it. Matter of fact, every morning... Every single morning. Well, what if I don't remember? Ask the Holy Ghost to remind you. Yeah. Every single morning. As soon as you wake up or your foot hits the ground, just go ahead and warn your spouse. Say, look, every morning when I get up, real good chance you're going to get woke up. Get up and just say, thank you, God, I am healed. Thank you, God, I am prosperous and I don't live in lack. Every single morning, get up and just thank God for everything He's doing, for everything He's done, and for everything He will do. But get up and just get excited about it. As soon as your feet hit the floor, oh, you know, but it's Monday. Who cares? And who made up the Monday thing? That's my question. Who cares if it's Monday? A lot of reason is because... Well, let's be honest, it's back when we used to drink and stuff. So we didn't want to have to wake up and go to work because we was hungover. Amen. Just me again. All right. Moving on. I mean, not me, but Pastor Chelsea again. I love messing with her. Amen. She's going to get a special gift when she gets to heaven for dealing with me. Wow, Jim, you ain't supposed to amen. You're supposed to be on my side. Amen. Let's go over to Joshua 14 real fast, please. Don't allow things to take the wind out of your sail. Take the excitement. Stay excited about it. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what anybody else is going through either. But I know what the Word of God says. And I know if we just continually stay with the word, it'll continually stay with us. But as soon as I let go, then all bets are off.
Yes.
I do know that. As soon as I back up and go, God, I don't know. I don't think it works anymore. I'm giving up. Don't give up. Call one of us.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. There's been times. Look, me and Pastor Chelsea go through stuff like y'all go through stuff. There was one day she called me crying, saying, we ain't got money in our bank account for me to buy these groceries. So guess what I did? Started yelling at her. No. First thing I did was I said, well, thank God that we don't have to live in lack. Thank God that God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. See, she was crying and sad, but I just started speaking the word to it.
That's right.
Because I knew I had to. I had to keep that excitement and not get down. And then there had been days where I'm like, God, what are we going to do? And she's like, well, thank God we know somebody. Thank God we have seed in the ground. Thank God that we have a provider. And our provider is not the system of our jobs. I said, amen. See, and we help each other and move forward and keep that excitement going on the inside of us. Amen. And like I was saying, it's crazy for us to ask God to get the excitement in on the inside of us. Do we ask him to make us excited about Christmas or get us excited about our birthday? Or do we do that ourselves?
Amen.
See, so if we're able to get ourselves excited about things like that, can we do the same thing about the Word of God?
Amen.
Why you got the microphone? Oh, I was like, you got something? Go ahead. Maybe. Oh, well, why'd you grab the microphone? You're making me nervous now. Put the microphone down.
She just got an extra special gift for that.
Yes. Joshua, where'd we go? Joshua 14, verse 7. Joshua, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on the day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet are trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So he's 85 now. And yet, or as yet I am as strong this day. He had to keep the excitement going while he's wandering through the wilderness with people that didn't believe like he believed. He had to walk around with people that wanted to stone him and Caleb for saying that they could take the land. They rose up against him. Yes, they did. You ought to read the Bible. Amen. But they came up against it because they started listening to the other 10 spies saying, oh, we can't make it. There's giants there and all this. And so him and Joshua and Caleb had to walk around for 40 years with them and keep that excitement. Because he said, I was 45 when you said go, or 40 when you said go. Now I'm 45, or 45 years later, now I'm 85, whatever it is. I just messed myself up in math some magical way. Too many, we'll just say 80, just make it good for me. And I'm 80. But give me this mountain. I'll take it. I'm excited about it right now, just like I was back then. Give it to me. He never allowed anything to take that excitement away from him. He didn't allow all the things they went through in the desert to take that excitement away from him. He didn't allow everybody complaining all the time to take that excitement away from him. too many times we listen to, sometimes it's family.
Amen.
And just because they're living in hell, the thing is, you can go to church just like I do. You can get in the Word just like I do. So I don't want to be like my, I love the way my mom said it. My ears are not your trash can to unload on. Because I'm going to allow that to start affecting me. Because as soon as you start talking about this person and this company and what they're not doing, now I'm creating an attitude towards these people. And I don't even know them. And so now I'm like, well, I can't believe they'd let you do that and that, and they wouldn't allow you to have this, and they did this to you. Do I actually know that for a fact? Do people exaggerate?
Yes.
So why do we think family will be 100% honest then? Because the thing is, they're going to get you out of your love walk, because you're going to start thinking about these people now that they're talking about. And now you're going to create, an image of them.
Yes.
Amen. So he allowed himself to stay excited, right?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, we'll stop there. Amen. Y'all get anything out of that?
Amen.